Job chapter number 12. Appreciate your prayers. Preached a funeral service yesterday for a lady. They did not have a church or pastor, and the funeral home called and asked if I could bring a message. And she was 101 years old. And wasn't just the age was amazing, but she retired from Kroger's at 95. she was remarkable. Unfortunately, they did not have much of a religious background. When I got there, the sons came and asked me not to preach. And they wanted about her and her life. And that immediately, that's a challenge. Not just the fact that, you know, obviously want to preach and bring the gospel, but, you know, I never met this lady. And they said, make it all about her life. I didn't know her, you know. And so I went in the room, and I asked the funeral home down in Amelia. They let me have a room, and I sat there by myself and prayed. And I thanked the Lord. He gave a message and changed everything. But the Lord led me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And if you haven't read that, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then it goes on the next few verses, and it talks about what happens as we get older. And I read through all of those things in that passage of Scripture for the family. And it talks about how our eyesight dims. Hers never dimmed. I talked about how our grinders fall out. That's your teeth. She had her original teeth. It talks about how you get feeble and you can't work anymore. She worked until she was 95. And really, it kind of forced her out. She wanted to keep working. Talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, a fear of heights that the elderly will get. And they become fearful. And at age 95, one of the things that her sons encouraged her to retire is because she was on top of a ladder changing lights in the deli. She fell off the ladder, fell into the sink, and just laughed and got up and kept working. And I went through all of this passage in Ecclesiastes 12, and then I referenced there where the Bible says that, you know, the average lifespan is about 70 years old, and, you know, or a little bit more if you're really blessed. I said, she lived to be 101. So, and after I read that, I said, and I went through all those things, and people, they laughed. They thought it was pretty neat. I said, God said this is average. So she was above average in all these areas. I said, but let me tell you about somebody that has somewhere that's far above average too. And I told them about the Lord and heaven, and they received it so well. And I was very thankful for that. That God, he just, because that was not my plans. I have an entirely different message I prepared for that wedding, and our wedding, funeral. And, I don't know why I'm thinking about weddings. It was a blessing. And I appreciate your prayers, because it could not have been done without the Lord and prayers of God's people. So thank you so much for praying for that. In Job chapter number 12, I want to read you a verse real quick. You know, I told the folks yesterday, I can't imagine the difference in the world that that lady saw from her birth to her death. For 1920, you know, I said she went from horses to rockets, man. You know, it's, stop and think about all the changes in the world and the wars and the just everything. It's remarkable. And if there's one thing that I enjoy about, you know, learning about people like her and others who have lived many years, is that they have so many great memories, so many stories. That's one of the reasons I love going to the nursing home, because, you know, everybody, they have a lot of wisdom. It's called experience, right? And you listen and to their wisdom, and believe me, Everybody at the nursing home has an opinion on everything, right? And they'll tell you all about it. And I enjoy that. And that's what's referenced here in Job chapter 12. Look in verse number 12. It says this, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding." The Lord gave me this message for this morning, and I just want to share real quick what experience will teach a person. What long years will teach a person. Now, I'm not at all comparing myself to the lady that passed away yesterday at 101 that we preached a funeral for. Nor do I have the years that many in the nursing home that we have ministered to, or some here would probably look at me as being young. I don't feel that way, but I'll take it, long as I can. But at the same time, I've learned lessons from those that I've ministered to and with, and my grandparents. And I just want to give you a couple quick lessons that the ancient have taught me. And I'm not being derogatory in that term. That's what the Bible says. It's a biblical term. It just means aged, older than I. It says there the length of days and the understanding that's given. So look at this with me real quick. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, help us with this message now. And I pray that, Lord, you just speak to hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wrote down just a couple lessons, three actually. So number one, my first lesson that I have gained experience from the ancient and those with length of years have taught me is number one, time goes by quickly. Time goes by quickly. James chapter number 4 and verse number 14. We know that. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, I wrote down a couple of things about how time goes by quickly. From James chapter 4 and verse 14, I wrote down the brevity of life. You know, I don't care whether 101 or 71 or 51 or 41. It doesn't matter how many years God allows on this earth. Everyone says it went by quickly. The Bible says our life is as a vapor. It's here and then vanisheth away. Life and time passes quickly. I also wrote down 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 24 that says this, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away." I wrote down secondly not just the brevity of life, but the beauty of life. You know, I know it talks about how, you know, the grass will wither and the flower fades away, but for quite a while, that grass is green and growing. For quite a while, that flower is a remarkable beauty to look at. You know, and it's so it is with life, and we live our life, and there's this beauty of it that God has blessed us with. You know, I encouraged the folks at the nursing home on Thursday. I said, you know, look outside and tell me how good God is. You know, and one of the ladies said, the grass is so green. One of them said, the sky is so blue. Look at the flowers there on the path. You know, look at the clouds in the sky, the sun shining. God could have made everything great. But He did all of this for us. He did all of it so that we could enjoy the power and the beauty of God. And we live our life, and there's some beautiful things that we go through. You know, with the child that is born, and what a beautiful thing that is. His life is conceived and begins, and praise the Lord for that. And then you go through life, and you see, you know, growth and people growing up, and you see them then, you know, approaching marriage, and then you see them, having their own families, and you see young men growing up and working, and you see all that God does, and you see all the blessings of the Lord, and I watched at that funeral yesterday as, you know, all the so many babies were being held, and grandmas are walking around being prideful of these little babies, man. I mean, they, you know, this is mine, and some they hadn't seen in a long time, and a whole lot of kisses and a whole lot of babies with big red lipstick all over their head, all right? And they were very excited about it, you know, just the beauty of life, and all the stages of life that you go through. It's a wonderful thing. But eventually the flower fades and the grass withereth. It's the brevity of life and the beauty of life. In Psalm 144 and in verse number 4, the Bible says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. I wrote down next the bustle of life. We get busy in this life, don't we? It says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow. You know, you watch a shadow and, you know, it moves, and as the sun moves, and it doesn't stop moving. You know, that's, you know, we all familiar with the sundials and things like that. I mean, the shadow, it just keeps going, and then it's gone. This life is busy, and we live probably in a time when we're busier than most have ever been. Seems like, you know, no secret, Brother Fountain is growing a lot of beans back here, right? And praise the Lord for him. You know, I took him, I had a big old bag at the house the other day, and I got him out. And Brother Ricky and Rachel's boys are at the house, and I said, Caleb, Eli, Micah, come over here. Let's snap these beans. And they're like, what? I said, let's snap these beans. And Alex walked through, and he goes, oh, I hate that. And he walked out, right? And Grace, for some reason, she disappeared all of a sudden, you know. And the boy said, well, what do we do? And I showed him. And about 2 minutes later, Caleb said, I'm not good at this. And he walked away. Eli hung with me for a while. Micah, he did pretty well, you know. He thought it was pretty cool. There's strings in there, and we got him out. You know, and he said, and I told him, I was like, you guys don't sit down and snap beans? They're like, no. And my kids, I guess, really haven't done much either. I grew up, you went to Mamaw's house? You were snapping beans. You know, that's what you did, you know. And my grandpa was picky about it. If he found a string in his cooked green beans, Mamaw would get in trouble, which meant I was about to get in trouble. You know, he didn't have strings in your green beans. But I always saw my grandma sitting there snapping beans. You know, sitting on the porch. We don't do that stuff anymore. We're way too busy. And I'm not against, obviously, getting things done and doing things. But if we're not careful, life can pass us by pretty quick. And we've been so busy that we forgot to enjoy time with our family and friends. The bustle of life. I read in Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's the burdens of life. Now life goes by quickly, the brevity of life, and there's beauty there, and there's the bustle, but there's also burdens in life. There's a whole lot of tears shed in this life. You've shed a lot of tears in your lifetime. I have too. Isn't it precious to know that the Bible teaches that God collects those tears in a bottle? That means that not a tear has ever went down your cheek or mine that God did not care and have compassion for us and work on our behalf. There's a lot of burdens in this life as we face heartaches and trials and physical things and financial things and children, parents, and things we go through. There's a lot of burdens. And sometimes we get caught up and we think this burden's never going to end. But it does. Sometimes we wonder if we're ever going to get through this trial, but we do. It doesn't take away from the seriousness of every burden, but you look back, and that's what David talked about as he was encouraging himself in the Lord. He said, I look back and I see the hills of Miser. And what he's referring to is the fact that he's had lots of trials and mountains he's had to climb. But when you look back, you can rejoice over those that God got you through every one of them. And if we face another one, God will get us through that one too. There's the burdens of life. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. God wants us to redeem the time and enjoy the blessings of this life. Aren't we all blessed today? I know we have burdens and I know we have the bustle of life, but we're all blessed today. Every one of us could stop and praise the Lord for a long time today and never run out of things to praise Him for. The fact is, I thought about this earlier this week. One of the first lessons and things I always hear is how time goes by quickly. And I don't know why God led this message earlier this week on my heart, but I hope it's a blessing. Number two, second lesson I've learned is this. Things aren't worth quarreling over. Things. Stuff. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What shall it profit a man if he gain what? The whole world. But you lose your own soul. Things aren't worth that fight. You know, every new gadget is outdated in a week. Every brand new house falls apart. Every brand new car will rust. None of it's worth fighting for. We put an awful lot of fight and effort over possessions and things. Families will be divided. Homes will be separated. I talked to someone yesterday that's, I would refer as the gall of bitterness. No one in our church, just someone I saw yesterday, and they began a conversation. But they're so mad at family over stuff. Can I tell you, things aren't worth fighting over for long periods of time that it's going to cost you your relationships and family around you? There are things far more important. In Job chapter number 1, you're pretty close there, turn back there. Job chapter 1, look with me in verse number 21. Job 1 and verse 21. Job, he's speaking here. And he says this, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Job recognized a very important principle. And by the way, few have gone through the trials of life that Job went through. But Job said simply this, "I've learned this, I come into this world with nothing, and I'm taking nothing away with me." Things, be careful. Possessions, bank accounts, things, they're not more important than souls. Keep that in mind when dealing with family and friends, that things aren't worth the quarreling over. Time passes by quickly. And the third lesson that I wrote down is this. Your testimony is all that's going to qualify. You say, what do you mean by that? That when life ends on this earth, how you lived your life and what you did with your time is all that's going to matter in regards to these three things. Leave a record and a testimony of these. Number one, may everyone know who you loved. May everyone know who you loved. I can't even begin to tell you how many funeral services I've been to in my lifetime, between my family being in the ministry and preaching many, and me preaching many. But it's important that you leave a testimony that people have no doubt who you loved. So what do you mean by that? Your family ought to know that you love them. Amen. Your family ought to know that you love them. Your church ought to know that you love them. And people should have no doubt that you love the Lord. May all of us have that testimony that we love the Lord, that we know who we loved. And then the second testimony, that people may know what you live for. That people will know what you lived for. It was heartbreaking at the funeral service yesterday not to be able to give comfort of the promise of heaven. I could not say that this lady was in heaven. She had no testimony of faith at all. And I'm not going to lie to people. But I am going to tell them that they can know they're going to heaven. People live for things. People live for notoriety. People live for possessions and big houses and toys, hobbies. I mean, normally what is spoken of is the things that they love to do, what they live for. Sometimes family, praise the Lord. Other times, just things in my experience, golf, fishing. Pull up politicians. We need to take a sobering thought here today and stop and think, what would people say you lived for? What are you living for? And there's nothing wrong. The Bible teaches we need to provide for our homes. Amen. The Bible teaches that man, a righteous man, will leave an inheritance to his children's children. I'm all for that. I told my grandpa that one time. He just laughed at me. You know, I don't understand it. I quoted scripture to him, and he laughed. And I obviously we have to do these things. And money and possessions are not evil. I hope God makes everybody in his auditorium a millionaire. That'd be awesome. That'd be wonderful. You thought you'd amen that. That'd be great, right? But the fact is this, if that's not God's plan, you still have so much to live for. Because someday people are going to talk what Travis Burke lived for. And if they can say that Travis Burke loved his family, Travis Burke loved his church and loved God and loved people, and if they can say that he lived for others, he lived for the Lord, he lived for his wife, he lived for his children, amen. I'm great with that. Matter of fact, that's my goal. It's my motivation. I can already guarantee you that they won't say he lived for a huge house. It didn't happen. A beautiful yard. That ain't happening, right? But I have heard that about some. And it's nothing wrong with hobbies. And it's nothing wrong with saying that as long as they can say some other things that are much more important. I would kind of like to be known. That man was a great fisherman. I'd be happy with that, yeah. That'd be great. As long as that comes after that he loved his family. And he loved his God. And he loved people. Leave a testimony that everyone knows who you love. And everyone knows what you live for. But the most important testimony you can leave is that everyone knows you're with the Lord. Did you hear me?
Right.
That everyone knows you're with the Lord.
Right.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is a wonderful thing. Sorrow is sorrow. Grief is grief. Mourning is mourning. But I tell you what, when I go over there to the nursing home and I sit there at that first table, last week we had 14 sitting around, multiple tables set together, and every one of them gave a testimony of salvation. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Out of anything and everything I'd like to know about them, and I love hearing their stories, I love hearing their experiences, but the greatest thing I can hear from their lips is I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. May people know you're with the Lord. If you're here today, and there would be questions on that, if you're here today and loved ones would hope you're with the Lord, if you're here today and there would be a question because no one knew a testimony of salvation, no one heard you share about when you got saved, then change that today.